Welcome to Betrayal Recovery Radio, the official podcast of APSATS, the Association of Partners of Sex Addict Trauma Specialists, hosted by Dr. Jake Porter. APSATS is a nonprofit organization providing professional training and compassionate support to partners affected by problematic sexual behavior and betrayal trauma. In each episode, Dr. Jake guides a conversation of enlightening insights and practical tools to empower those affected by sex addiction and betrayal trauma to use their voices and live their values. The mission of Betrayal Recovery Radio is to offer hope to those in need of healing and growth to those moving through grief. And now, here's your host, Dr. Jake Porter.
Welcome to Betrayal Recovery Radio. I am your host, Dr. Jake Porter, and it is wonderful to be with you once again. Today, we are talking about this time of year, this wonderful time of year, but often this very difficult time of year of the holidays. This stretch that we're in right now between Thanksgiving and New Year's has a lot of challenges, particularly for those who are experiencing betrayal trauma or the effects of betrayal trauma, whether you're the one who's been betrayed or the one who did the betraying. So today I'm going to be joined by a colleague and friend, Rebecca Ray, and we're going to talk about navigating the holidays when betrayal is on board. Rebecca is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's licensed in Texas, Colorado, Missouri, and Florida. She is also the owner and founder of Ray Family Therapy here with me in Houston, Texas. Rebecca is a certified sex addiction therapist, a certified clinical partner specialist, and she is certified in EMDR therapy. She is married and has three children, ages 18, 14, and 9. And in her free time, she loves reading, hiking with her dog. And when it isn't too hot, which is often in Texas, it's quite hot. But when it's not too hot, she does HIIT workouts in her garage. In January, Ray Family Therapy will offer training to therapists and coaches to develop practical skills working with adoptees and adoptive families. It's going to be called Treating Adoptees and Adoptive Families Across the Lifespan. As an adoptee herself, Rebecca understands firsthand the trauma experienced in foster care and the adoption process. Additionally, Rebecca wrote an ebook, The Ultimate Guide for Creating a Healthy Relationship, to help couples get off autopilot and into the core awareness of their core needs and desires. Links to find her practice, her ebook, her trainings, and all her social media profiles, which you will want to follow because she puts out some great content, are all in the show notes. Before we turn to that conversation with Rebecca, though, I do want to talk about a few exciting things that APSATS has coming up. Right after the new year, on January the 5th, Lainey Knowlton will be presenting a one-hour workshop on healthy sexuality. Later in the month of January, the 22nd through the 25th, APSATS will be offering its foundational training, the Multidimensional Partner Trauma Model Training. If you work with or want to work with betrayed partners and partners of sex acts, and you have never taken the MPTM training, please sign up for that. It's an important and essential training for those skills. And last but not least, I'm very excited. I get to present along with several of my colleagues at APSAT's annual conference, which will be held online January 31st through February 2nd. This will be all online via Zoom. You can go to APSATS.org for more information on any of these events to register now and reserve your place. Okay. Without any further ado, let's sit back and let's try to take in all we can, all the wisdom that we can from my conversation with Rebecca Ray as we talk about navigating the holidays when betrayal is on board. Rebecca, welcome to Betrayal Recovery Radio. I am so happy to have you.
Thank you, Jake. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, I have been looking forward to our conversation for a lot of reasons. First of all, I'm just happy to have you on because I think more people need to know you because you're amazing.
Thank you, Jake.
Yeah, I love the work you do, and I love everything you're putting out there on your social media accounts. It's good information. So I just want to start by saying thank you for all your contributions in that way.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I really appreciate that. It's a labor of love. So,
yeah. Also, you know, another Texan and Houstonian who I can support. And
that's right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. We Houstonians stick together.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I loved the photo that we all took to Symposium and at Symposium, and there were just so many people in the photo, and we were even missing probably like six people.
We were. I know.
There.
I know. And, you know, I see clients from, you know, all over the place. And so many times they'll say, why are there so many good, you know, CSATs and APSATs trained folks in Houston? I don't know, but I'm grateful for it. I'll take it. Yeah.
I know. I'm never lacking people to refer to, which is just fantastic, including your practice. So.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, thank you. Awesome. Well, so today we're talking about the holidays and this time of year, which can be so difficult for those who are going through betrayal trauma recovery, sex addiction recovery. So I just want to kick it off by asking you, can you explain, you know, in your mind, why the holiday season would be particularly challenging for individuals who have experienced or are experiencing betrayal trauma?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's because we have in our mind what the holidays are supposed to be. And regardless of what your religious affiliation is or your spiritual beliefs are, this time of the year is associated with lights, right? And lighting candles and the optimism and hope of a new year and what we can do in the coming year and what we're grateful for. And I specifically think if you're struggling with an addiction or you're struggling with betrayal trauma, it can be incredibly difficult to have hope going into the new year. It can be difficult to celebrate or to even get into the mood of being festive.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's all these reminders everywhere, you know, pictures of families together and all this happy music and decorations and all of this going on. And yeah, it's like a constant in your face reminder for some people of what's not going on internally for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I even think just scrolling through social media, a lot of people take family photos this time of year and they're posting those. And if the constellation of your family has changed, right, particularly recently or in the last year, I think it can be very difficult to see those things and not to wish or want or wonder why, you know, this has been your path in life.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. So when you drive down the street, it's in your social media feed, it's in your calendar, all over the place. And I'm,
or even I think going to think about your work holiday party. You know, a lot of the times work parties or personal parties allow people to bring a plus one. And if you are not a plus one anymore, or maybe you're even in a situation, a lot of the betrayed partners that I work with, nobody but me and them and their partner know what they're going through. And so if nobody knows what you're going through and you've been invited to a plus one and you don't really want to bring your plus one because you're going through some distrust issues.
Sure. Yeah.
It can be complicating, I think, to explain why your plus one isn't there or why you're inviting a friend to go and not your partner. It just can open people up in a vulnerable time to have to talk about things that maybe they're not ready to talk about with people.
Right. So true. So true. And as I was kind of thinking through this conversation we're going to have, I was reminded of some research that one of the guys on my team, Dr. Wendell Gill, did in his doctoral dissertation. So he taught me this. So I don't know if you've heard of emotional labor. Is that a term you're familiar with? I was not until he told me about it. So it's a concept within the emotional intelligence field. And emotional labor is what we experience when there's a gap between what we're expected to be feeling and what we're portraying on the outside and what we really feel on the inside. That gap, that distance. And that's what I was thinking about is all the different places, that work holiday party, but also the family parties. You know, one of the things that biggest struggles that I hear from betrayed partners is, you know, I'm trying to shield my kids from this. I'm trying to shield our parents from knowing all the details. But I feel like so fake at the same time, right?
Yeah, it's like you've got to put the smile on and go and pretend like everything is okay when inside you're completely falling apart and crumbling and just brokenhearted.
Yeah. So what are some strategies that we can offer folks? Maybe let's break it down because that's so broad. Let's start with just some of the common emotional triggers that are out there, and what betrayed partners could do to prepare for those.
Yeah, I certainly think, I mean, triggers for any time of the year, but I think that can be particularly challenging this time of year: loneliness, isolation, just the disbelief, anger, and fear about what has happened. And when those feelings come up, I think it can be very difficult to engage in your day-to-day life, whether that's connecting with your kids, connecting with your family, focusing and doing whatever it is that you need to do at work, I think can be very challenging for people.
Yeah, for sure. And so let's create a scenario here. So here's a betrayed partner, and he or she is, you know, opening their email, and okay, there it is again, another invitation, another party coming up, another situation, particularly where they're going to feel like they have to protect the one who hurt them. Mm-hmm. They're going to feel like they can't be authentic. They're doing that for their own sake, but also the other. There's all kinds of turmoil in that. What are some practical things that this person could do, even in that initial moment? What comes up for you as you think through that?
I think take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Right? And offer yourself some self-compassion for what you're
absolutely
what you're having to do and the burden that you're having to carry for your family. And then really, like, what do I want to say? I guess deciding what is really worth putting your time and, like you said, your emotional labor into, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I guess maybe looking at each of these holiday events and thinking, how important is it that we're there? How important is this for the kids? How important is this for me or my partner? How important is this for our work, right? Like, so some companies, it may be really important that you're going to different things, whereas others, it may not be so important. So maybe setting some boundaries on the events that you do go to, just to protect the amount of emotional labor that you have to put in to these events. Does that make sense?
It does. It's so good. And it's so good. I want to break it down. I was making a little list of all the nuggets in there, so all the elements I heard. So the first one was just the deep breath, which I think is so simple, but it really is a powerful thing to do, right? Like, and I'm always telling my clients, pair that deep breath with relaxing those muscles, especially all the way down where the vagus nerve terminates, down in, you know, your core, and trying to shift your body into that relaxed state. It's amazing how that can affect our mind. So that's totally agree. Is that a good place to start? But then you talked about self-compassion, you know, pairing that with some self-compassion. How do you coach clients to actually execute self-compassion?
Yeah, I think that can be tricky because so many of us have the shame reel going on inside of our head. And particularly if you've been betrayed, there are questions about whether you're enough or what's wrong with you. Why are they picking this other person or these other behaviors versus engaging with you? And so I think for as far as like the self-compassion goes, it's like you have to get out of that shame cycle in your head and that reel of I'm not good enough, right? Or there's something wrong with me, and being compassionate and that I'm human and I'm going through something really hard right now.
Yes.
And I'm not alone.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We're so similar. Rebecca, that's why we get along so well. I mean, yeah, that's right. This is hard, right? This is a hard thing, and I'm not alone. There are others doing this hard thing too. And interestingly, that is what, when Wendell did his doctoral research on emotional labor, and he was studying what actually brings some relief, and I think in his, he actually uses the scenario in his dissertation of being at a company party or an event where you don't really want to be there, or you've really got other hard stuff going on and you're having to put on the face. He said, if there's one other person present who knows, who you know knows what's really going on for you, just the knowledge of that one other person who knows can decrease the intensity of the burden. I just think that's so powerful.
That is powerful, and it makes sense. And so it makes sense why being in a betrayal trauma recovery group can be so helpful all year, but particularly this time of year, right? Yeah. To be somewhere where other people have experienced the same thing and know what is going on with you. It's extremely right. powerful. We're human. We're designed to live and be in connection with other people. And addiction, particularly sex addiction, is incredibly isolating for both the betrayed partner and the person who's been acting out, because all of those behaviors are done in secret.
Right. Right. Yeah. So good. Okay. So also going back to that answer where you had so many nuggets. So we talked about the deep breath. We talked about the self-compassion. You also, you framed it in bringing up the question of like, how important is this event? Right. So what I'm hearing is, you know, it's a question of values. Like, do I really need to do this? Would missing this event be a violation of my own values or a violation of my own sense of integrity? And the opposite is a good question too. Would going in the state, given the state I'm in, given the state of what's happening, would going be a violation of my values or my sense of integrity? But a lot of people, they've never even thought of things like that. So how do you help someone start thinking through their own values and how they experience their own integrity?
Well, I think it's helpful to look and see what are your core beliefs and values. A lot of the times I like to have my clients look through that. It's the master skills and the master habits list that Patrick Carnes developed, I think can be really helpful in allowing people to kind of see how they spend their time and what's important to them. And then even then further kind of drilling down, what are the things in their lives that are important? What is meaningful to them? Is it cooperation with other people? Is it community? Is it family? Is it a strong work ethic? You know, it, everybody is different. Is one of your core beliefs and values relaxation? Is it autonomy, right? Mm. There's so many different ways that people can go. I think it's extremely individualized.
Right. And as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking for a lot of the betrayed partners I've worked with, they get to a place where they go, well, you know what? I'm not sure that the values I had were working for me, given what I now know. And this is a time to get to choose some other ones. You know, maybe you are someone, you're listening to this, and you are someone who's always, you know, had the value of family, and you've always had the value of sacrifice or service, or, you know, those which are wonderful, lovely, important things. And I'm not saying ditch it for good, but maybe this is a season of your life where you put something like self-care or rest a little higher. Ultimately, so that you are able to return to your family healed and healthy and whole and all of that. So
it's yeah, good stuff. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. So we talk values, and then you mentioned boundaries in that answer. So many of us did not learn how to do boundaries ever. So what's the the quick lesson, the quick, fast, let's figure out what we need just to get through this time, way to do boundaries during the holidays.
I think we should start with like very simple boundaries. Okay. A good example of a simple boundary is brushing your teeth twice a day.
Oh, I love that.
Right? It's like, because so I think good. People think, oh, a boundary. Like, it's really not a big deal. Like simply choosing what clothes you pick out in the morning is a boundary. Hmm. Right? If you're someone that's comfortable wearing a short skirt and you feel good about that, right? Versus if you don't, you may wear longer pants and a longer shirt. Like that's your boundary. Like everybody has different boundaries. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
And brushing your teeth twice a day is a boundary. Obeying the speed limit in school zones is a boundary, right? Yes. And so I think people make these a lot bigger than they need to be. A simple boundary can be sending an RSVP decline that you're not going by the date that you're supposed to. Right. Or, for example, if your partner struggles with maybe multiple addictions and one of those is alcohol, is that we're not going to take wine to the party, or we're not going to go to parties where alcohol is served. Right. Or we're not going to go to a party where maybe someone that my partner acted out with, or like if they acted out at work, we're not going to go to the work party together. We're going to agree together as a couple that we not go, right? That's a boundary. And then also with setting boundaries, you have to be willing to follow through with whatever the consequence is to that, right? If you decide to not go to the work party together, is there a consequence associated with that? And are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Good.
Absolutely. It makes a ton of sense.
Kind of like if you choose not to brush your teeth twice a day, you have to be comfortable with the consequences.
Sure.
That.
I'm trying to instill that boundary in my 3-year-old right now. Like,
no, it takes a while. Amazingly. Yeah. I often say to my children, I'm like, it's so simple. Twice a day, morning before you go to bed.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah, we're working on that one. But it is hard. I love that you started there, because I can see the connection. So for example, you know, I remember saying to a betrayed partner one time, it wasn't around the holidays, but there was something that, you know, she had coming up. She said, "But I'm exhausted." I said, "Well, then what would happen if you listen to your body, and if your body is saying that you really need rest, you choose not to do this? What would happen if you said, my boundary is that if I am not getting my sleep, if I'm not, you know, rested, I'm not going to tax my body by pushing it for this other thing." And she goes, "I can do that?" Well, yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. You get to choose that. You do.
And it can be so empowering to hear that from someone else, right? That it is okay to say no. It is okay if the holidays and decorating and making everything perfect is not your priority right now.
Absolutely.
This year.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one will die.
Right. Nobody. That's right.
Because you didn't. I don't know.
Yeah. That's right.
Garland the banister.
Exactly. Yes. Our banister is not Garland this year.
Ours is never.
And we're all okay. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And we're all okay.
And you know, another one I just thought of. So now I'm, I guess, shifting into consultant mode. I'm throwing ideas out for listeners. But maybe you're thinking, yeah, but you know what? I do want to go to that party. I just don't want to go with him or with her, you know, the one who betrayed me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Guess what? Your primary partner doesn't have to be your plus one.
Exactly.
Who else could you take? Or, I mean, if you don't want to go alone, who else could you take? Is there a friend? Is there someone from a recovery group that could go with you and support you in that and go have fun? Cause you're, you know, that's part of, what I think is the struggle of this holiday time is that betrayed partners still deserve to experience some of the joy of this time of year.
Absolutely. Well, and one of the things that I like to tell my clients, particularly as they are, especially with maybe young children, they're trying to decide what are their values, beliefs around these holidays, and what kind of cultural rituals are they wanting to instill within their family. And examples of those would be, do kids wake up with things in their stockings, right? How do we observe these different holidays? Like, do we do gifts? Like, do we go big? Do we go small? Right. So it's kind of trying to figure out what all of these things are. And as your family grows and develops, your rituals are going to change. So Absolutely. Why can't your rituals change this year? Right. It doesn't mean you have to do what you've been doing the last 3 to 4 years. You're a different person now. Your family is different now. So you may not do all the same things you did last year. That's okay. It's just embracing newness and change.
Absolutely. That was one of the points I had also in preparation. Just, you get to create new traditions.
Yeah.
But because this is a grief process, right? This is about, what does it mean to go through this time of year that has so much meaning, but that meaning I'm having to navigate this time with it meaning something different because there's new truth thrown in the mix now. I can't face it the way I used to because my partner betrayed me and you know, old memories are getting scrambled, all of that. Such an important part of grieving is moving through ritual and creating new meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if we could even throw out some ideas of new traditions that can be created. As simple as, in the past, I always cooked this huge Christmas Eve meal for everyone in the family, right? And I worked on it for 3 days, and I don't have it to give.
Charcuterie board, and you can even buy those.
There you go. Or I was going to say, so you know what? We're all going to dress up and go out to a nice meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for it's a new tradition for mm-hmm. our family. It's something that maybe other families have done forever, but that's new for us. I'm not going to carry the burden of preparing the whole thing. Or, hey, we love charcuterie boards around my house. That's a great idea. Yeah. Yeah. Another idea I thought of as far as a new tradition might be around gift exchanging, that mm-hmm. that it's incredibly simplified in a very purposeful way. Like, we are going to cap the number and the investment, right? Mm-hmm. And we're just going to try to do one meaningful gift for mm-hmm. whoever, you know, again, just to try to do it, not just relieve, it's not just about unburdening, but also creating something different, coming back to the basics of what this is about for you, for your family.
Well, and I think what I hear you saying is creating rituals that are meaningful to you now. And so,
yes,
if overspending your budget does not bring value and meaning to your life, it would make sense to scale back and really choose something that's meaningful to that person.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I used to have this holiday tradition back when I was, before I got married. You know, I spent a whole day sometime during the when I would take off some time for Christmas, that I would spend a whole day in my pajamas watching all of the Lord of the Rings movies, like, all day long. And now that went away.
You know what's funny is I read that whole book and I've never seen the movies.
Oh.
And when people tell me how long the movies are, I'm like, oh, I just can't. I read the whole book and it's really long.
It is really long. It's really long. And I'm usually one who says the movies are never as good as the book, and it's not as good as the book, but it's as close as a movie can get to being as good as the book. But anyway, you know, all that to say, maybe there's an old tradition that you've left behind that you can bring back. You know, that's one that I hope as my kids get older, one day I'll be able to bring back as their attention span grows. You know, is there something old that you can bring back? So, and all of this, I think, is really tied to that self-care piece as well. What would feel nurturing to you during this time that would help you connect to what this time of year means to you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about family relationships a little bit more, because for a lot of people, when I've had this conversation with clients, we're talking a whole lot about, oh my goodness, I'm going to see his mother, or oh my goodness, her father is going to be there. And sometimes it's a recognition that there's just a toxicity or a history of relational trauma there. Sometimes it's fear, like, well, now they know that I cheated on her, or now they know that whatever, right? So I'm wondering, what are some ways that people can set those boundaries with folks, you know, the boundaries that don't have to be all or nothing, right? What are some even internal boundaries that we don't even necessarily articulate or speak aloud, to help with these more sticky, painful, sometimes complex family relationships that we have to face?
Yeah, I think we can go back to one of the things that you said is figuring out who is one safe person there. Mm-hmm. And it may not even be someone that knows everything that's going on, but maybe your sister-in-law, Susie, has always been, regardless of what your in-laws do, maybe she's the one bright shining star in the family that has always been supportive and friendly and kind to you, right? So to keep her in your mind and to make sure that you connect with her at some point. And then another question that I have for people when they tell me that they're going to these toxic family situations is, do you have to go? Well, yes, we have to go. Okay. Do you want to go? No. Okay. Well, then why do you have to go? Okay. Sometimes there are really compelling reasons as to why they have to go. Sometimes it's like, well, because that's what we've always done. Okay. Well, maybe we can refine that and change that. And maybe you don't have to go, or maybe you can change that. We go on Christmas Eve for 2 hours and then we go home, or we take separate cars. And if I'm feeling fatigued and like I have emotionally labored enough and I decide that I want to go home before my partner, I have the choice to do that.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
That is a great suggestion. I love that suggestion. I'm also a fan of, you know, it's hard, but like facing things up front. So if I'm worried about what mom or dad is going to say to my partner, and this scenario could be either way, right? Like mom and dad of whether it's the betraying or the betrayed, or and what do they know? But you're just worried about what they're going to say about them hijacking this thing. To do the phone call up front before you ever go, you know, and say, hey, I know you know we're going through this. We're planning on coming, but we don't want this to be the subject of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's a great boundary.
Right. And so if you feel the need to bring this up, please know that we will probably excuse ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay with you? Right? Like, are you on board? Like, communicating that ahead of time. And I'll say this as well. If you are the partner who committed the betrayal, I would just strongly encourage you to be the one to step up and articulate those boundaries.
I was going to say, make that call.
Yeah.
Don't make your partner call your parents and tell them that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Be the one who steps up and, you know, as a part of your living amends that you're trying to make, as a part of your, you know, taking ownership and accountability for the consequences of your behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Make the call. Won't kill you, right? Like we were saying earlier, that this was not going to kill you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it can actually be really meaningful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You can, the best case scenario, you're going to have people supporting you in a way that you need. Worst case scenario, you leave the party early.
Right. Right. Excellent. Very good. Let me see what else I had on my little list here. My okay. fun little list. Let's see. Oh, okay. So this is one that I've had people look at me like I've got a third eye or something like that. So I mentioned how, you know, having that one person, right, who knows what you're going through can really bring a sense of relief. Well, also, it's possible for that one person to be the one who betrayed you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not in every, I'm not saying all the time in every scenario, in every case, and some people aren't, some people who you know, are early in their own addiction recovery are not going to be that safe person, but maybe they can be. And I'm just putting out there because I want people to hold that in their minds as a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts as I'm saying that?
I'm imagining women in their car going, "Are you freaking kidding me, Jake?"
I know, but
you do have a third eye. No, I'm
just kidding. but it's such a beautiful thing.
That,
yeah,
but it does. It opens yeah. that possibility, and certainly, that's possible after some recovery.
Right.
Right. You're right. Maybe prior to disclosure, they're not the safe person, but maybe after disclosure and some couples counseling and some trust has been built and you're starting to see them living out their recovery in an intentional and meaningful and repairing way.
Yes.
They could be your safe person.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And there are a lot of tools out there for this that can help with that. Any of those trigger buster tools, right? But something would be so powerful if you're listening and you're the betrayer, okay? I'm just going to give you a quick script, like for you to turn to your partner before you walk into that party or before you go downstairs on Christmas morning or whatever it is that you know he or she has been dreading because it's going to be so painful. You turn and you say, "I know this is hard. I know how painful this is for you. You know, I see you. I'm so sorry. And I'm here. I'd rather be with you in your pain than not with you at all. Thanks for walking down these stairs with me. Thanks for letting me go into this party with you," or whatever it is. That's it. That just an acknowledgement, just a reminder. Because here's what's going to happen. If you don't, you know, you don't say anything, your partner's going to think, "He's forgotten. She's forgotten," right?
They doesn't don't care. Doesn't understand how much I hurt. Like,
yep.
They're not trying hard enough. They're not engaged in their recovery. The more you are communicating what is happening with you emotionally or recovery wise, that helps build trust with your partner. Right? They're yes. not there to judge you and to go, "Well, you know." They want to support you. They're there because they want to see you get better. And so the more that you're sharing from that recovery journey, right, the more that's going to build trust.
Yes.
And the more you're sharing your understanding of their pain, right, that is going to help build trust. And
absolutely.
They will feel seen and understood. And these women have spent years not being seen, valued, or understood. Can be men
right.
as well.
Absolutely.
I don't want to leave that out. But the more that, like you said, the person who's done the betraying shares those things, they feel seen. And that is healing on the inside, at yeah. our deepest core, to be seen. Think about your 3-year-old. Right? All she wants is for you to see her.
So true. Look, daddy, look.
Mm-hmm.
Put your phone down, daddy. Mm-hmm. Look at me without holding your phone. She said that to me the other day. I was like, oh.
I know.
Oh, you got me. You got me. But you're so right. And Rebecca, hearing you say that, because you're right, it can be men or women. But I think it's important to acknowledge that just culturally for most of us, the burden to make these family-oriented times of year actually happen, that's right, falls on the women more often than not. Maybe that's another, whether it's a boundary set by the betrayed partner or something that could be offered by the one who committed the betrayal to say, let me take on more. Let mm-hmm. me, give me half the shopping list. Mm-hmm. Let me do the grocery store run. Instead of you doing, you know, turkey and dressing, let me grill steaks this year. It will mm-hmm. be different, but that's something I can do. Whatever it is, could be really meaningful and helpful.
Yeah. And if you think about it, if you have kids, that's a really good example to give to the kids, right? That mom and dad both participate equally in providing these experiences for the family.
Right. Mm. Right. Right. So good. So good. Well, Rebecca, any last minute thoughts or tips that you would have? And also just want to ask you to share just a word of encouragement to listeners who maybe they've been following along our conversation. They're going, this is helpful, and I'm still scared to death, and I'm still hurting like crazy as I think about this.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that's kind of come up for me is just thinking about, instead of toxic positivity, right, which just feels very invalidating and hurtful, think of this as tragic optimism, which is a term that came from Viktor Frankl, right, who survived the Holocaust, right? And if you're going through something incredibly painful and acknowledging that hurt, pain, and tragedy, and just continue to remind yourself that you're not alone, and to tap into the people that you can trust, the people who are safe. And when you feel lonely, know that that is just a feeling, right? It doesn't mean that you're lonely. It doesn't mean that you're alone, right? Yeah. You're just feeling that way in that moment, and whatever you're feeling is going to change.
That's right.
And sleep may be really hard right now, but do whatever you need to do to try to get some sleep, because you're going to feel better. Absolutely. If that means you have to sleep in a separate bedroom, or you need to talk to a doctor about a sleep aid, or maybe you need to practice a sleep hygiene routine to help yourself relax, do whatever it is you need to do to get the rest that you need to be able to live life and to set those boundaries, right? Because when we're fatigued, how do we make decisions? It's like, I hate it when my kids come at 10 o'clock at night and ask me something that I'm like, ooh, I'm not sure. I will answer that at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning when I have all my faculties and decision-making capabilities on board.
Yes, yes, for sure. Yeah, that's so good. And I want to just say amen to that. You know, before we hit record, we were talking about sleep and the importance of sleep for us personally. And that's just something I've been learning this year. And so how our brains can't even heal. We're not in a place of healing without sleep. And I know it's so elusive to so many betrayed partners, but I love that priority. Give yourself the gift of sleep this holiday season, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Well, Rebecca, thank you. You are a light of hope. Thank you for the work you do. Thank you for your time today.
We're going to
put all your links in the show notes. So listeners, you can find her, follow her on social media. She puts out so much good stuff. Thank you again, Rebecca. We appreciate you and you being a part of the APSATS community.
Thank you, Jake. I greatly appreciate you. And I'm thankful that you're doing this every week to get this information out to people who so desperately need it. And you too are a light.
No, thank you. And, my joy and honor.
An inspiration to so many people. So
thank you.
Keep on the keeping on.
All right. Well, happy Hanukkah to you, my friend.
Thank you. And Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Betrayal Recovery Radio, hosted by Dr. Jake Porter. If you value the content we've shared today, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review. This helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. For more resources, visit APSATS.org. That's APSATS.org.